So just want to pause and pray for our country, especially on this Memorial Day. And we just pray blessings upon this nation. We pray for awakening and revival in this country for your glory. We pray blessings upon our president and also other elected officials, for your blessings upon them. We pray for the troops and armed forces of America, and we pray that you bless them and bless their families, strengthen them, and I pray that you would bring wisdom and protection upon them and all leaders of this nation for your glory. We pray that you bless this time that we have in your word, and we pray that only you would speak, and it would be something that's deep and revelatory to our hearts, transformational, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're continuing our sermon series called A New Season, and the title of today's sermon is The Principle of First. You can turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13, and that's going to be our main passage. We're going to turn to a couple of different passages, but Exodus 13 is going to be our main passage. So I do encourage you to turn there if you have your Bibles so that you can see it, especially because we're going to be looking at a couple of portions of that chapter. But I wanted to start off with just a non-spiritual example, because the principle of first is about order. We have to put things in the right order in our lives. And so I just wanted to give a non-spiritual example. And so the example that I'm going to give is about changing a spare tire. All right. So when I learned how to drive, I learned that just an everyday skill that everyone needs to have that drives is changing a spare tire. All right. So I just wanted to use that as an illustration and about order and putting it in the right order. All right. So up here on the PowerPoint is, if you could help me get to the next slide. Okay, so here's the order, you make the choice, all right? So A, loosen the lug nuts, lift up the car, put on the spare tire, lower the car, tighten the lug nuts tightly. B, lift up the car, loosen the lug nuts, put on the spare tire, lower the car, tighten the lug nuts tightly. C, loosen the lug nuts, lift up the car, put on the spare tire, tighten the lug nuts tightly, lower the car. And D, lift up the car, loosen the lug nuts, put on the spare tire, tighten the lug nuts tightly, lower the car. By the way, this is from pepboys.com, so I know some of you might disagree with this order, but this is the source, reliable, pepboys.com. All right, so how many of you guys would say A is the correct order? Raise your hands. B is the correct order? Raise your hands. C is the correct order? Raise your hands. D is the correct order? Raise your hands. The correct order, according to pepboys.com, is actually A. I think no one raised their hands for A. All right, so pepboys.com, experts would say this is a matter of life and death. I mean, if you start tightening the lug nuts tightly while it's on the car is on the jack, you have a chance of bringing the car off of the jack and literally killing somebody, right? So order matters. It could be a matter of life and death. And I want to bring it to a scripture that is literally saying that. God is saying order matters. It's a matter of life and death. Obviously, we talk about, you know, putting God first. That is the principle of first. We're going to see in what ways God calls us to put him first, especially in this new season that our church is in, this new season of life that many of us are in. All right, so Exodus chapter 13, we're talking about the principle of first, putting things in God's order. When we put things in order in our lives fall into order. Our lives may not be perfect. In fact, Scripture promises us that there will be times that it's tough, but our lives would fall in order as we come in the principle of first. All right, Exodus chapter 13, we're going to read starting 1 through 3, and then we're going to read 11 through 13. This will be our starting point. Okay, so can you help me to read this out loud together? Exodus 13, 1 through 3, and then also 11 through 13, the principle of first. Let's read together. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal." Then Moses said to the people, "Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your ancestors, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons." I wanted to start off with verse 3. Verse 3 is telling us that the Israelites were certainly in a new season. They had just got rescued out of Egypt, out of slavery that they were in for 400 years. So they're entering into a new season, certainly, as by the mighty hand of God had rescued them. And now they're entering into a new season. And God tells them about the principle of first. Ultimately, it's about worshiping God, so they need to put God first. But God tells them exactly how. He gives them specific instructions on how to worship him, how to put him first. We hear that often. We need to put God first. But how are we called to put him first? And then he begins to give them specific instructions, verses 1 and 2. Can we read that again out loud together? Here's the specific instructions, how to put God first, how to worship him in this new season. 1 through 2, let's read that again. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal. So God is telling them to bring the firstborn to him. Notice that I use the word bring. I don't use the word give. He told them to bring him the firstborn. And he uses this word, he says, because it belongs to me. Or let me put it in the New King James Version up here. And he says this. Let's read it out loud together as well in the New King James Version. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. These are pretty strong words, right, that God is saying to the Israelites in this new season. He is saying, bring the firstborn, bring the choice portion, the first portion, bring it because it belongs to me. It is mine. Let me just insert an illustration here. Maybe it'll help us connect in with this. Imagine, if you will, that you got a brand new car, your choice car, your dream car, luxury car, top of the line, best one, brand new. And so you go on a trip overseas, and you decide, you know, that you would bless your friend, right, and give your friend the car, to lend the car to him or her. Hey, you said to your friend, just enjoy this car while I'm away. I don't need it right now, so you just enjoy it. Drive it to work, drive it to school, drive it around. Just enjoy this luxury car, top of the line, brand new. And then you came back from your trip, and your friend brings back your car, and your friend says to you, hey, I really hope that you enjoy this gift that I'm giving to you. I think that you would be surprised. Probably you would be offended. And you would say, what are you talking about? This car belongs to me. It is mine. And God is saying to us in this new season, lots of blessings in our church, lots of blessings in our own lives. We talk about worshiping God and placing him first, but God gives us some specific instructions and this principle about bringing the first, bringing the best, bringing the choice, bringing it to him because it belongs to him, and he says, it is mine. Now, you might say, wow, those are pretty strong words. You know, I thought God was gracious. I thought God is loving, and he wants to share, and I have this little portion on this earth, and he's saying, you know, it belongs to me. It is mine, and he wants it back in his house. But I just want to bring us a little bit further on in this chapter to talk about the seriousness of God on this principle. He calls us to worship him, to place him first. The first portion belongs to him. It is his. And then let's look at verse 13 again. Verse 13, it says this. Let's read 12 and 13, and then I want to point out something in 13. Let's read it again. You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. So I want to highlight verse 13. So God is saying, he's real serious about this. He's calling us to worship him in a new season. And he says, bring the first, bring the choice to him. It belongs to me. It is mine. And he says, you have a choice. Either you bring it or break its neck. Wow, how much more intense can you get with this? And so God is saying, either bring it to my house or break its neck because it's going to be useless to you anyway. He's saying it is not ours. It's not for us to go use this portion. God's saying bring it to his house or break its neck because it's not going to be useful to us anyway. Let me tell you about a recurring conversation that I have. I've been doing what I've been doing for 17 years. Recurring conversation. People hear a message like this about the first fruits, about, you know, offer God the first, the tithe, the offering, whatever you want to call it, bringing that to God's house. People hear this message, and then they'll say to me, I think it's true. I think it's in the Bible. I think it's a good thing to do. I'd love to do that if I could. I'd love to offer a lot if I could, but I can't. And I just want to say, well, this is the principle of first that's in Scripture, right? It's like they should theoretically, think about it, they should have a lot more because they've been accumulating, they've been keeping the first portion for themselves over time. And so there should be a lot left over that they could give. But they're saying that they find themselves in lack. I would say it's a principle of first. That God is saying that first portion, if you're not offering and bring it to God's house, it's actually, if I can put it like this, broken and not useful to us anyway. Now you might say, wow, it's just kind of getting intense what God is saying here in Exodus 13. I want to bring us to another passage of Scripture where the intensity of this is actually turned up a lot more. So turning your Bibles, Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, the principle of first. Malachi 3, 8 and 9. Let's read this out loud together. God is also speaking about bringing the first portion to his house, specifically the tithe. Let's read it out loud together. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in a place of robbing God. I also don't want to be in a place where the portion that I'm keeping back is broken, is not useful. And I definitely don't want to be in a place where I'm coming under a curse. But this is what God's word says. And so there's a simple remedy, right? The simple remedy is that we bring that first portion to God. And the promise is huge. The blessing is tremendous. So let's read verse 10 of this same chapter, Malachi 3, verse 10. So we just read 8 and 9, and then here's verse 10. Let's read it out loud together. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough for it. There's many blessings. This is talking about abundant blessing. This is talking about overflowing blessing. As we make the decision to bring the first portion to God, to put him first, to worship him, there's the abundant blessing that's promised in Scripture to us. I want to tell you about another conversation, 17 years, recurring conversation. It goes like this. Every single time, it goes like this. A person hears a message like this, receives teaching about the principle of first, about tithing. They begin to tithe. And they begin to tithe, and then they talk to me, and they say, I can't explain this. I can't explain how this happens, but I'm giving the tenth. I'm giving up this portion to God, and I'm finding that I'm having more. So I'm giving up, let's say, the 10%, but I'm finding that I'm having in my life more than the 10%. And I would say that, again, it is a principle of first that's there. God has called us not because he's the greatest giver of all. There's no way that we could outgive God. There is no way that we could say, oh, I'm going to give God this portion and then I'm going to be broke afterwards. But God has called us to give, but he's the greatest giver of all. And then he gives to us in this way, in this overflowing way. Who wants the floodgates of heaven open on our lives? That it's going to be poured out upon us, that there will not even be enough room for it, that is the principle of first. See, I want to say to some of us, because I think some of us will be challenged today in this message. I want to say, if you start tithing, start giving to God the first portion, the choice portion, the best portion, and give to him, do it for 1 year, I'm going to give you a money-back guarantee. If after 1 year, that you find, wow, you know, this is not for me. I just find that this is totally not working out. Listen, I'll tell you, I'll give you your money back. But I'm not going to be giving anyone's money back because this is the principle of God's word. This is what God is saying, that as we begin to give to him our first fruits, that he begins to give back to us in this manner. Now, I would say that this is good enough reason for us to abide by the principle of first. But I want to bring us back to Exodus chapter 13, because God has something even further in there about a reason for us to keep giving to God and bringing our offering. All right, Exodus chapter 13, verses 14 and 16. Let's read this. Let's read this out loud together. This is another reason in chapter 13 of why we abide by the principle of first. Let's read it out loud together. In days to come, when your son asks you, "What does this mean?" say to him, "With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed the firstborn of both people and animals in Egypt. This is why I sacrificed to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeemed each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand." Here's what Moses was saying to people. He said, at some point, people are going to see you giving. People are going to know that you're giving extravagantly to God's house. Specifically, the next generation. Specifically, your children are going to know that you're giving this portion, this first portion, this best portion, the first fruits, the tithe, the offering, whatever you call it. They're going to know that you're giving this, and they're going to ask, "Mom, Dad, why are you doing this? You know, maybe we could keep that and we could have something extra for ourselves." And they're going to know about this and they're going to ask you about it. And Moses tells them, he says, what you're going to say to them is you're going to tell them about your experience. You're going to tell them that it was with the mighty hand of God that he rescued us out of Egypt, out of 400 years of slavery. We were there, we were burdened, we were being in a really bad position. We were in a really bad position, and God was the one that rescued us. And this is the reason why we're giving the first, the choice, the best to God and to God's house. See, we have this vision to see massive salvations in our church, our city, and our world. And God says the way that we will begin to let the world know the gospel message, the good news of rescuing us out of being enslaved in sin, is by giving to the Lord. That certainly we need to preach the gospel with our words. But God is saying also preach the gospel with your actions. And as you preach the gospel with your actions, the world's going to know and the next generation is going to know of the freedom of the gospel message, that it was with a mighty hand that God rescued us out of slavery, out of Egypt. You know, in this new season of our church, I feel like that this morning was a morning that I needed to bring this message about the first fruits offering, about the first, about the choice, about the tithe, about the offering, whatever you call it, and bringing that to God's house in honoring of his scripture. And it's really interesting, but I think it's God. There is no pressing financial need in our church right now. So I'm not here fundraising for the church, though honestly, I wouldn't have a problem doing that, but that's just not what I'm doing this morning. In fact, I just want to share a real quick testimony with you that even the first installment of our loan payoff, that we paid off this building, but those brothers and sisters who generously loaned to us, even that first installment, this past Friday, in a miraculous way, God took care of that. So I stand here this morning, not fundraising for the church. There's no pressing need that we need money in this church right now. Of course, there's needs, you know, Iraq missions, Japan missions, and I hope that you give to that, but there's nothing that we necessarily need to come here and say, "Hey, we need your money, please give." There's nothing of that this morning. But listen, I just feel like in this new season of our church, as God grows us, as God grows your life, as God gives you other opportunities, listen, I don't want you to be in a place where you're robbing God. I don't want you to be in a place, as Malachi 3 talks about, to be under the curse of God. I want you to be under the blessing of God. I want our church to be under the blessing of God. By the way, just so you know our church, when money comes in tithes and offerings, 10% of it always goes out too. So money comes into the church, 3% goes to the Vineyard USA, which is our denomination. 7% of it goes to missions. That's how we support these missionaries that are here. We also, just as a church, corporately together, bring the first fruit offering. But God's called us because this passage, Exodus 13, was an individual message. God told Moses to tell God's people this message about bringing the first, about bringing the first fruits, about bringing the best, the choice, the first thing, before we do anything else, before we if I could put it this way, worship anything else or bring any other intention, any other direction as we're bringing it to God. And I feel like God wants me to bring this message to us. And for some of us, it's going to be a challenge. And this message about bringing the first fruits is a challenge. And that's why I want to say, and I just don't want to be flippant about it or just, you know, disingenuous about it, money back guarantee. Do it for 1 year. Honor God's word. Let God bring you to a new season with blessing in your life. See what happens in 1 year, because God's word will never return void. God's blessing is going to begin to overflow in your life. And God has called us to this. I especially want us to bring us to that Exodus 13 portion right at the end. Because it's not just so that we just bring the offering so that we can be blessed. But God's saying, when God told Moses about giving this message about the first fruit offering, the best offering, the choice offering to God, he was landing on this. And he's saying, listen, I care about the next generation. I care about the world. I care about other people hearing about this good news that God sets us free out of slavery for 400 years. And listen, the way that they will hear, the way that they will know is they will see it in our lives in a tangible, very representative way in our lives. And they're going to begin to ask. The next generation is going to begin to ask. The other people who have not experienced it are going to begin to ask. They're going to begin to notice. And this is the way the good news is going to go forth. Literally, this is Exodus 13, generation after generation after generation after generation, that today, this morning, we're still talking about how they were rescued out of slavery after 400 years. I want to challenge our church on this. I want to challenge our church to give God the true worship that he called us to in his word. Because, you know, there's other places in Scripture that talk about how we could give God lip service. Listen, I do not want to be leading a church that's giving God lip service. Like, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you. But then with our actions, we're not doing it. And by the way, this can't be something that's forced. Right? This has got to be something that comes from your heart out of a conviction, out of Scripture. Knowing that God's overflowing blessing is going to come, but also knowing this is the way that we're going to go and fulfill the vision that God's given to us, not just at his church, but really at the Great Commission, telling all the world about the good news, the message of Jesus Christ. As we close, obviously there is a direct challenge here about just a financial first fruit offering to God, to God's house. There is that portion that's clearly there in this scripture. But I wanted to make a broader application as we close. Because, you know, we need to give God the first of everything, not just our finances, right? The first of our time, the best portion of our time, the best portion of our attention, the best portion of everything of our lives. Ultimately, we need to be giving God the first portion of our hearts. We're going to close this sermon time by singing a song that many of you are very familiar with, King of My Heart. And that's about Jesus being the first place in our hearts, the king of our hearts. See, when Jesus becomes the king of our hearts, he becomes the king of everything else, whether it's finances, whether it's time, whether it's our attention, whatever it is. And when we begin to place God first, when we place Jesus first, just even as we read about today, this blessings flow in just magnificent ways. And I felt like in our time of ministry, we want to pray for any and all needs as we normally do, but I just felt especially three areas. As we as a congregation begin to sing a song from our hearts saying that Jesus is the king of our hearts, I just feel like blessing's going to flow in finances. I feel like blessing's going to flow in time management. That's what's something that I just felt like this week about time productivity, time management. I've experienced it so many times in my life, even this week. Placing God first and then seeing just my time, just to be, things fall into place. There's productivity, there's efficiency, because there's an order of things where when God is placed first and everything is placed in order, there's just blessing that flows. So I just felt like this morning, to pray for some of us about time management, time productivity, time efficiency. We're finding that, you know, time is just slipping away and et cetera, et cetera. And I just feel like there's blessing in that. When we place God first, there's just the abundant blessing of God in every way. So I felt like to pray for finances, for God's abundant provision of finances. I felt to pray for God's provision about time management. Again, we want to pray for any and all needs, but I just felt those two specific things. So let me close us in prayer first, and I'll invite the prayer team and worship team if you could come out at this time as well. Let's pray together. I know this is a challenging message for some of us. This is where the rubber meets the road. And I want to pray for you this morning because I know it's tough for some of us. It's all eyes closed and heads bowed, okay? Make sure all your eyes are closed, heads are bowed. This is a private moment. Please keep this a private moment because some people are going to respond very seriously to God's word right now. Let them have this private moment between them and God. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand this morning if you found that you've been struggling in this of giving God the first, but you see it in Scripture, you're saying yes to it, but you're asking for God's help. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. Please keep your eyes closed. Give people a private moment just between them and God to respond to His word. I'll ask you if you're saying yes to that, but you're asking for God's help, just put your hand quickly up and then down. That's just you communicating with God, just up and then down. You say, God, help me. God, help me to put you first. Just up and then down. Father, I want to represent our church right now, and I want to say, Jesus, you are first. You are number one. You are the one that's going to receive the worship. And we want to answer your call in your scripture about the principle of first. Help us to honor you in this. Give us strength. Give us vision. Give us wisdom. Give us supernatural strength and faith for the overflowing provision from you. And I just declare over all of our lives this morning, God, we will never outgive you. Thank you, God, that you are the greatest giver of all. We will never outgive you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your promise and your word of how you will provide for us. So I pray for strength. I pray for faith in a supernatural way in this specific area. In just a moment, we're going to sing Kingdom of My Heart. I hope that that's a song from our heart. I hope that that's a song from our church. It is a song from our church. I know that. I hope that's a song from your heart this morning, that He is number one. He is placed first. I believe that blessing flows when we place Him first. Hand all the way up and then down. If you're like, God, I need overflowing blessing in my time management, just put a hand all the way up and then down. Because I just feel like that's here today. I just feel like that's here. We're putting Him first, and then His blessing comes. I felt like this week, God wants to tell us, listen, put Him first. His blessing comes. And I just felt like it was about time management. So, Father, blessings on time management and time productivity. Help us in this. We're putting you first. And there's overflowing, abundant provision in that. I just feel especially to pray for that. Our prayer team will be up here to pray for any and all needs. That's one specific area that I felt led you to. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Just make sure right now, because I feel led to pray for financial provision. And for some of us here, it's been a struggle in this area, and we need God's overflowing, abundant provision. I believe that's available to us. We're placing Him first. And so hand all the way up and then down. If you need God's help in the financial provision area, maybe in your life, in your family's life, all the way up and then down. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are our Jehovah Jireh. You're our provider. Our church is probably the greatest testimony of that, with just this building, that we're surrounded by your blessings and your provisions. And we pray for that this morning into families that are even represented here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. Let's sing this song from our hearts. We represent our, you represent